This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Welcome back. Let me turn on a mic here. Welcome back. It's Kelly and Ramya, and it's a Tuesday afternoon. Monday to Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. We're live on AMI TV. It's a first airing, 4 p.m. Eastern time on AMI Audio, and whenever you want to listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Of course, over there, we are segmented out as well, so it's nice and easy to share, to reflect back on conversations and segments as well. So check it out by searching for Kelly and Ramya. Kel's over to you. Well, two times in a row.
It's that time, ladies and gentlemen. Two times in a row. Two intros, two extras.
Who's keeping track?
But nobody's counting,
you know,
right?
Yeah.
Nice. Time to talk a little bit of woodworking as we have our monthly woodworking segment. Let's welcome in Mr. Jeff Thompson.
Hi, I'm Jeff Thompson. Let's talk wood. Practical woodworking from a blindness perspective. It's not, can I do it? It's, how can I do it? Now let's get started.
So I don't know if you were listening before we went into the break, Jeff, but something almost got by that hasn't been recognized yet here. So since you're here and as a witness, Rum, did you say something about breaking boards?
Yeah. When I was younger, I took part in a karate, like an after-school karate class. Are we calling it karate class? Anyways, program that was being run by one of our teachers and another sensei. And it was really fun. And by the end of the year, we got to break boards. I really didn't think it was going to happen. Like, I didn't think that my board would break. But it did. Huh. So,
well, a second question I have goes to Jeff.
I'm going to talk about what type of wood
Jeff
it was or anything like that.
To weaken boards, particle boards, and that's so kids could be fooled and believing they actually
built the board.
Come on,
don't take this away from me. Don't do it. That's probably why I never brought it up on the show, huh?
How many boards did you break? Probably.
One. Not as many as Jeff. Jeff?
No.
You've broken boards.
I've never actually karate chopped piece of wood.
Not in this scenario, but...
Yeah.
Well, at least we would do it without any sensei, without any training, and we thought we were smart enough
in
to
our
put
own
two
garages.
Boards.
Yeah.
So, you know, needless to say, it's lucky there was no broken hands, really. And then the boards were actually used as they were meant to be.
Agreed.
Undamaged, too, I'll say. Jeff, where are we going today? What are we talking about?
Well, moving on from breaking boards, it's investigating. Investigating woods through observation and, you know, how do you make a project? Say you come across something, you're on vacation and you're in a hotel, all of a sudden you see something really neat or you're at someone's house and all of a sudden you want to build something like that. So how do you go about that? So that's what we're going to be talking about.
And you're talking a little beyond just taking it home and saying, look what I built while I was away. I took 20 minutes and did this. So Jeff, where do we start when it comes to let's talk about that scenario. You see something. As a blind person, I know I'm picking it up and examining it and thinking, wow, this is really cool. What did they do to do this?
Exactly. And it's all tactile. You pick it up. Say you have, like we've made these gumball machines, you know.
Right.
And take them up. You take it apart and you can hold it in your hand. And by investigating, you can see, oh, it's three pieces. And where'd they get the wheel? Oh, it came from here. So you start measuring it and wondering how many pieces there are. How are you going to recreate that if you were to do it? Do you have the tools to do it? So the list starts going in my mind because I'm experienced with it and all that. And I think of the possibilities of, okay, how many can I get out of an 8-foot long plank if you want to make a lot of them or something like that. But just investigation, looking at it, taking your click ruler, if you have one on hand, or a talking tape measure, whether it's a Cobalt or another brand, you can get some feedback and then, you know, either remember that or record that down. But yeah, the main thing starts with just getting your hands on the project and, you know, digging in.
And what is it that we're digging in, looking for, examining? What are the kinds of things that we want to get into?
Well, if you're sitting at a table sometimes nonchalantly while dinner is going at a guest house or something, your hand might hit the edge of the table, then underneath it, then you feel the rail of it, something. Or if you're someone hands you a tea box or a jewelry type of box to check out, you know, you might want to see, is the bottom the same as the top? Are the sides equal? Is it a rectangle? How are the joints going together? You know, there's so much you want to just pick out, like, how would you assemble this? How are the walls of the jewelry box attached to the bottom? So you might want to flip it over and feel if you can feel screws, or if they covered up the screws with a plug of some and made it look like there's nothing doing anything there. It's just smooth. And, you know, that's another level of fine woodworking. But, you know, that's what you want to do. You want to investigate it. How are the hinges hooked on? Are they sunken in so it lays flat, or are they up on top? Do they have little bumps on the walls that make it so it stays flat? So there's lots of little things you can take in. What I first do when I find something that I'm curious about is, let's take a table. What's the top? What's the legs? Is it round? Is it square? Is it curved? Is it, if it's curvy, that's not my word shop is not set up for that. But if it's square, mission style, or if it's what they call old school Amish style in the United States, they call it Amish style, but your basic stuff you might find on a farm or something like that, the good old materials, good old projects that are fun to make and stuff like that, that you can do in a typical shop, straight boards and yeah, nothing too fancy. So just that investigation, that tactile. But the most important thing is, if you decide to make it, is then to figure out which way is the grain running. You know, like you can kind of tell which that is. If you make a top and a bottom, do you make two in a row to save time? And then the sides, and then start measuring the lengths of them and seeing how many you can get out of a board. Once you're at that point, down to the fasteners, is it nails? Is it screws? Is it glue? Is it both? You know, but you can kind of figure that out as you're investigating. I mean, if company is around and you're in their living room, they might be curious what you're doing, but you know, just cut the little investigation on your own can give you a lot of ideas to do.
It's like little things, right? As you're saying, it's not even necessarily going to try to investigate, but it's little things so that later you can potentially problem solve. Or like what happened the other day, I had to take my table apart. I didn't. Somebody had to take my table apart. And then somebody else put it together. And I thought, that doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. But it could.
Oh, so the two different people work on that table?
Yeah. It was actually quite ridiculous. But anyways,
long
story.
Don't you just love that, Jeff?
Yeah, but it's like there's that. You know, understanding of what it's supposed to be or what it's not supposed to be, even if you technically could do it both ways. And I think that part of that is the investigation as well, just kind of paying attention as you go.
Yeah. These are, when you're checking something out that I wonder if I could build this, you know, you're just adding to the data that you're going to store by attempting to build it. What worked, what didn't. Another project that's similar to it, you go, I see they've done this to it that you might change. But the most important thing, if you decide to do it, do you have the tools to create that? And that's
yes.
You know, setting up limits, and you don't want to have to go out and buy a $200 tool just to make this one little thing that you might not use again. Unless you want to get into that area of that type of woodworking. So, you know, try and find stuff that fits the style of your wood shop. And if you're just beginning, start with those small boxes and, you know, work up from there. And as you investigate more and more, ask people, like www4b.org. There's woodworkers on there, blind woodworkers on there. Well, you can tap in and ask that question. They love those beginner questions because they all can draw back and they rock in their chair and they start, well, they're writing to you, but I like to paint the picture that they're all on the whittling on the porch. But these are guys that want to help out. And your questions are just right up that alley.
Yeah, the dead Clampett's sitting there whittling away. Well, boy, here's how you think of doing it. And I think for someone in your situation, Jeff, because of the fact you've been doing this for a while, you've developed those things that you know, hey, yeah, I've got the stuff to do this, where maybe there's that person who gets on the idea that, oh, I'll see something, find out what I need to get to do it, and that's kind of how they make their shop going and finding a project they're interested in and then learning what things they might need. But the one key thing, because you could see stuff, and I'll go back to almost to Rumya's example of a table taken apart, put back together, where you stop and say, well, hold on, something's not right here. And what you were saying about learning along the way, what kind of helps is being able to take it down in some form. How do you manage that so that as you look at it and know, I need this, I need that, they did this this way, oh, wow. Or you're getting told about a project that you might be interested in, and you've said, how do you do this, Mr. Jed Clampett, whittling away on the step?
Exactly. When I really want something, this story goes back to when I first found a large jelly bean machine. I was in Illinois, and I bought one from a Amish store that I was going to give to my mom, but I wanted to learn how to build it. So I had happened to have a click ruler with me, of course. And so I measured the thing up and I just kept jotting it down. And I had a slate and stylus, and I just wrote down, you know, four of these boards or something of that nature. But I just started jotting down the memories because this was going to go away. So I was just curious as heck to do it. And as soon as I gave it away, I wouldn't have it again. So I wanted to measure everything I could. So I jotted down as much memories as much measurements as I could. If you have a tape recorder, if you have a, you know, slate and stylus, anything that you can reference again. So if someone's telling you a story like that and stuff like that, call them back up and get that story again, because these people are good references for a lifetime.
Yeah, that along with, you know, the questions you may have, like nails versus screws or glue or whatever, right? Like things that we've talked about in past segments with you, alternatives and or making the project fit your circumstances, as you said earlier, the tools that you may have or the capacity you have to create a project or continue it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so important to diversify, to have more tools in your toolbox, just like in the blindness world for accessibility and stuff like that. Same thing in woodworking. The more tools you can get, I mean, not technically the physical tools, but the more ideas or runarounds that you can have. There's different ways of doing the same thing, different joints that are attainable. While you might have spent a lot of money to do these fancy, fancy joints, but is it really worth it when you're just learning in the beginning? You know, you can do just as good as a job, but then some people like to really strut their stuff once they get going and all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even before creating, sometimes it really just starts with, you know, the fixing of things, right? Like tightening or whatever else is going on at your work, at your house, like the handiwork, because that could give you the confidence to then continue examining and exploring.
Yeah, if a little end table with a lamp is a little wobbly, reach underneath there. There might be a little wing nut. Tighten that up a little bit and see it if it happens. And, you know, investigating, tactile, get your hands on the projects and you'll learn a lot from that.
It's tremendous when you really think what you can do and what you just say, hey, this is me. I can do this. This is something I can give a try. And mainly when you just want to do it, Jeff. Okay, sir. Mm-hmm. Anything else we should cover before we let you go quickly? Any other advice?
Don't use your hands to break boards. That's my
advice. How frustrated?
Unless
it's tricky. It's smoke and mirrors
karate.
How that happens.
Okay. Talk to my sensei.
Right. Yeah, let's start. Thanks a lot, pal. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care.
We always have these great visits in with Jeff Thompson. Once a month, we get talking about so many different projects, some of the cool things that we get to learn, and really inspiring, folks. We do that on the first Tuesday of the month.
I was just thinking, I wasn't even transparent about what kind of board it was, like what kind of wood. So
particle, thin particle board.
Don't know yet. I'll have to double check that. Anyway. After the break, we've got our monthly book club. We do this on the last Tuesday of every month. Daniel Panamondo is going to switch over from control room operator to guest on the book club roundtable because he's the one who picked the book. It's Beartown by Frederick Brackman. We'll be right back to review it on Kelly and Ramia.
It's fun, insightful, and inclusive. Kelly and Ramia return in a minute.
Hi, I'm Stephen Scott. Join me every day for Double Tap. It's a show where we occasionally talk about technology for blind and partially sighted people. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts.